Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Holtcast. Happy holidays. Hope everyone is staying safe. Well, I should say safe and healthy during this holiday season. Cole Petum here as always, and it's going to be a blend, guys, so bear with us. Of course, we're going to touch upon the Palace win. We'll touch upon the Chelsea result, and we'll also preview the United game that's happening on New Year's Day as well. So it's going to be a jam-packed episode, kind of going over everything as much as possible. So, of course, thanks for joining. As I said before, if you guys want to be so kind, go over to Apple Podcasts, if that's where you listen to us, and leave us a five-star review. It just makes it easier for other people to find us, and wherever else you're listening, if there's a rating system, please leave us five stars, a plus five, whatever. It's always appreciated. But nonetheless, of course, it's not just me here today. I have my good friend Danny Raza here. So Danny, how you doing?
Doing well, mate. Doing very well. Very satisfying weekend of football, I'd say. And I think as well, probably our first podcast since the first time I've appeared on a podcast since before the Christmas break. So I just want to say, hope everybody's having a great Christmas period so far. Not been an ideal one, been a weird one, but yeah, lots of festive cheer for Villa at the moment.
100%. And of course, there is a third to this festive party. Of course, we have Stephen from at Villa Analytics on Twitter. So Stephen, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Likewise, enjoying the Villa at the minute and yeah, had a pretty good Christmas.
Well, it's always good to hear. Yeah, like I said before, hope everyone had a good Christmas, was able to relax given the circumstances of the world and all that stuff. But anyways, let's dive into it, guys. Let's touch on the Palace result here quickly because it has to be mentioned. I mean, 3-0 to the Villa at home. The home concerns have kind of been brushed to the side for the time being, at least. That record has improved at home, thankfully, of course. That leaves us at that point on 25 points. Of course, the Chelsea result gives us to 26, but nonetheless, would at that point moved us up to about, I think, seventh place it was or something like that. But I think the main talking point here, Danny, and I'll throw it to you first, would be 3-0 to the Villa, down to 10 men, and we score two goals while being down to 10 men. So what were your thoughts on the match as its entirety, really?
Yeah, I think huge, huge test for Villa. I did think that Palace might want to come back stronger after obviously losing 7-0 to Liverpool. But no, I think Palace, they really did struggle. They caused us a couple of problems early on with Zaha, you know, getting Ming sent off effectively. But other than that, I just thought Villa were comfortable. Like even you know, from the first goal from when Villa started off in the first half to the second half, even when they were down to 10 men, they just looked really, really comfortable. And that was, you have to say, a massive problem-solving effort from Dean Smith, who tactically just got it so right and really did outdo Roy Hodgson because, you know, another team or maybe a Villa team from last season would have fallen apart. But everybody did their job so, so well, and comfortable victory in the end, and it just goes to show how far Villa have come.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think this is a game where a lot of people are looking at it, and I mean, I talked to Jay from the Eagles Beak, which is a Crystal Palace fan site, of course, and during the preview that would have went out, I think it was last week. To be honest, I'm losing track of my days since I've had 6 days off and just have done absolutely nothing. But nonetheless, we had a chat about it, and I was kind of telling him, like, I don't really know how to feel about this game. Of course, they just came off a 7-0 hammering against Liverpool. You're thinking, okay, well, they bounce back. And of course, fair play to them. They started off brightly. They had a very good chance through Zaha to score, a fantastic save from Emi Martinez to keep us in at early doors. And of course, right off the bat, I think that's the second game in a row at that point where we've scored within the first 10 minutes. So arguably another quick start. And then of course you have Mings, who, I mean, it is frustrating. Of course, the first yellow, I think, was a little soft and a little silly. I really don't think he did anything wrong. The second, you can't really be doing that when you're on a set or on a first yellow, of course. But the weird thing is you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a long second half. And we just wrote it out, to be fair. Like, I think we only had 38% possession throughout the whole game, which you would expect being down to 10 men, but we looked very compact, comfortable. when we're on the ball, we look like we're almost always going to score. And it was proven. I mean, it's just so great to see players like El Ghazi and Traore, like I've said before, just kind of come off the bench after being kind of sat there for long awaited periods of time and to kind of seize their moment. I think that's the best thing. And the thing, and I'll come to Steven next here in a moment, but the thing I love is that we're still missing Trezeguet. We're still missing Ross Barkley, and we're churning out results. It's all positive, and it's an undefeated December. I think that's the most positive thing here. But Steven, what were your thoughts on the Palace result? I mean, it's a brilliant 3 points, and it has to be even better that we did it while ultimately being with only 10 men.
Yeah, I think that game for me pretty much epitomizes how far we've come this season from last. Like, last season, as Danny said, I think we probably would have fallen apart after that red card. But to then go and absolutely wipe the floor with them, you know, we were better than them first half. But second half, I think the gap between us and them became even bigger. We just absolutely tore them apart and never looked like conceding. It's just, it's one of the most positive performances I've seen from Villa for a very, very long time. Other than obviously Liverpool and a couple other games this season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, apparently the Liverpool 7-2 never happened according to like different parts of different fan bases, which is hilarious because they'll just say it's due to deflections. But of course, like this season has been a whirlwind for, of course, outside of football, but inside of football. I mean, it's been crazily unpredictable for a lot of teams, and you'll see some teams dropping like Arsenal, which you, I guess, would expect, but maybe not to this degree. And then you see us at the other end of the spectrum just absolutely flying. And to some extent, Danny, would you say we've kind of done this under the radar somewhat? I know we had a lot of media attention, of course, with the Liverpool result and, of course, beating Leicester and that kind of positive little form of results there. And then, of course, it tailed off for a little bit. But would you agree with that and saying we're doing it kind of under the radar?
I don't think so. You know, I think Villa are turning a lot of heads. And I think that they are getting a lot of praise and they are getting a lot of plaudits in the media. Now, Villa are getting points at the moment, and that's, you know, that's good, obviously. What happens if that turns to negative energy? What happens if Villa sort of get off form? They're going to suddenly have to deal with being a team that's expected to be doing well, you know, all of a sudden not doing well, right? So, you know, there's two sides of the coin there. But yeah, I mean, the only reason you might say that is, I suppose, is because Villa have had so many games in hand for a large part of the season. But, you know, they're sitting fifth now. You know, they're sitting fifth now. And I think that that conversation is going to be had. It's that point in the season now where Villa are going to be expected to build on what they've done. And yeah, look, I mean, how often do you hear people talking about Jack Grealish? He's almost one of the most talked about Premier League players this season, right? Like, he is being compared now to Kevin De Bruyne, Bruno Fernandes as one of the best players in the league. So, you know, I think they are now, I'd say, under the microscope a little bit. So it should be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah, 100%. You know what, guys? We'll close that game for now. We'll move on to the Chelsea game because I think that's the most relevant thing. And I think the thing that we can really take out of the Palace result is, once again, we've answered critics. We've come back from controversy, being a man down, and we're seeing more than just one or two players contribute. It's more been of a squad effort. So that's the most pleasing thing. But of course, let's do the match ball. Steven, I'll come to you. Who would be your man of the match or match ball?
I'd have to go for Ollie Watkins. Hat trick of assists for my fantasy football. And his hold up play was just Ollie Watkins all over. He was so unlucky not to score. He had 10 shots and almost 2 expected goals, you know, hitting the woodwork twice. Especially that second post hit towards the end of the game. Grealish's through ball for that was insane, and that would have been such a nice goal. But yeah, he's my man of the match.
Fair enough. Danny, how about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I think Ollie Watkins just did so well. He ran that game, and you know, he's got, even though he's going through a bit of a goal drought at the moment, just showing why he's so important to the team. Dean Smith said it after the game, you know, there's not a better striker in the Premier League that you would want if you are down to 10 men. He just, you know, runs himself ragged, gets himself in the space that you need him to, brings other players into play. The way that he set up El Ghazi for the third goal was brilliant stuff. Stephen, can I just check with you as the resident statistician here? Wasn't Villa's like expected goal just meant to be ridiculous against Crystal Palace? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, we became only the third team on record to accumulate more than 4.5 expected goals. Depending on the model you go for, it's between 4.5 and 5. and that's the most by any team with 10 men as well, is ridiculous.
Crazy, crazy stuff. And you know, the other thing with Villa that game as well was they never really looked like they were running out of gas. And yeah, I thought Anwar's got to have a fair bit of praise for the way that he played in that game. You know, he always looked like he wanted to be the main guy. Like I said, you know, he doesn't care that there's a Jack Grealish on the pitch. Anwar El Ghazi wants to be the Dutch Ronaldo. Thought he had a very good game. Traore did well for the 45 minutes he was on the pitch. And also, I want to give a big shout out to Courtney Howes, who came on and scored and also just did a fantastic job, at the back. So he didn't come on to score. Sorry, he did score, but just did a fantastic job at the back, covering effectively for Tyrone Mings and showing some great leadership.
Yeah, no, 100%. If I'm going to give my match ball, I think special mention has to go to Emi Martinez, purely because we could easily been 1-0 down at the very start of the game. Of course, we could have came back from it, but it could have been a completely different story. Of course, things could have played out differently. So keeping us in that game in the early stages, that's massive. We've seen that not happen, especially last season. So it's great to see that. So special mention to him, but I think it has to be Ollie Watkins. I mean, he does so much off the ball work. It's actually ridiculous. It's nice to see. And the fact that that man did not score during the Palace game is mind boggling. I mean, shout out to Jack Grealish for pulling out some Star Wars mind tricks on the Palace midfield and defense. And for Ollie Watkins being able to read that run was absolutely brilliant, and it deserved a goal. So unlucky, but the goals will come. I'm still very confident in that. But anyways, let's move on to the Chelsea result. It was 1-1 at Stamford Bridge. Of course, at time of recording tonight, of course, this happened. You'll hear this obviously the next day in the morning. But nonetheless, of course, Olivier Giroud breaks our clean sheet record. And I think it would have been what, Danny? Clean sheet basically for the whole month of December, if I'm thinking correctly?
Yeah, they didn't concede a goal in the entire month of September up until the goal that was conceded against Chelsea today.
Yeah, like that would have been absolutely crazy for, especially if, I guess maybe that would have been the best Christmas present of all for a December total of zero for goals being conceded, basically. I guess that's the best way to make sense in that. But nonetheless, of course, that man again, Anwar El Ghazi, gets his fifth goal in five games, which is absolutely mental. And me and Steven were talking about this pre-recording. We've said this before, Danny, and I'll come to you. The man that's kind of come from absolutely nowhere, it seemed like he just didn't have a future at Villa. A lot of people are writing him off, and he just can't stop scoring. What's next for this man? Because honestly, like, there's no way his place is being dropped in the team currently.
It's the confidence from him at the moment. What's interesting is he's very different to Bertrand Traore, who's out on the other wing, who seems to have to pick up the ball deep and drive it forward and look to create. Anwar El Ghazi is almost doing a lot of what Trezeguet was doing last season, and that he's finding himself in really good positions or just kind of getting himself into a position where he can have a pop. He's effectively the Dutch Ronaldo right now, which just the way his mannerisms are and everything. We always say that, but he's just so confident. He'll have a shot from anywhere. At the moment, his long range shots don't seem to be dropping, but just his instinct to be there today for Villa was brilliant. I think what you're seeing right now is a confident player who, let's be honest, you know, when he was at Ajax, was a serious prodigy. I think you've got a player who's ambitious. He's confident. He wants to, you know, he's got a point to prove, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And we're seeing that from him. And we've seen that from Anwar before. There's been times when he's been dropped, I think, in the Championship. And he's come back and done incredibly well and proven critics wrong. What I want to see from Anwar El Ghazi now is that this just continues and he doesn't drop off. I want to see the same kind of intensity every single game.
Yeah, 100%. I think the thing that, especially, like, I'm not going to expect an assist or a goal every game, but I like to see him continue in other ways, whether that's being kind of the secondary assist, creating more opportunities, just kind of doing other things as well if the goals and the primary assists aren't coming, which I think right now he has to be at the height of his confidence. I mean, everything seems to, I shouldn't say almost everything, but he does have quite a few shots that go astray. But nonetheless, it seems like just almost everything he touches turning to gold at the moment. So Steven, I'll come to you next. I mean, aside from Anwar El Ghazi, who was another player that impressed you most this game? Because for me, it was Courtney Howes all day long. But who was it for you?
I actually think Matty Cash's performance has gone massively under the radar. I think it was so tough for him, the fact that he was constantly two-on-one, but I thought he dealt with almost everything really well. Obviously, their goal did come down that side, but he dealt with a lot of that really well. And his cross for El Ghazi's goal was incredible. And I think that should have had a lot more praise at the time. I think the commentators sort of focused on the fact that Christensen was down and said El Ghazi's finish was pretty good. But I don't think they really talked about the fact that Matty Cash put that cross, you know, in such a good area that, yes, it was a decent finish, but El Ghazi scoring that 9 times out of 10. And another one, obviously John McGinn, was absolutely everywhere. He was just, he was an animal.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, some people, like, and of course, this is social media, so you kind of make of it what you will. A lot of criticism after conceding, and I'm thinking we've literally conceded one goal this month, and some people are acting like we've conceded 15. I mean, realistically, we could be Palace. I think they've conceded, like, something like 11 goals in 3 games or something ridiculous like that. So I think it's a little hard for some people to kind of go at it and think, oh, well, we finally conceded, then the floodgates are going to open. And it's just like, where have some people been for the last 4 or 5 games, for the last month, basically? Yeah. And I think what I'll pass over to Danny now, and the reason why I want to mention Courtney Hawes right now, is the man has played both sides of a center back pairing for the last few weeks, of course, with Konsa being ill for a couple games, and of course Mings missing out through 2 yellows accumulating to a red, and he's just done it seamlessly. I mean I have had zero complaints about him. He scored a goal, could have arguably had another one a few games ago. I can't remember which game that was, but Danny, he's just kind of been put in there, and I think a lot of people were looking at him thinking, is he good enough to be even the reserve center back? Should he be further down the pecking order? But he's just jumped in there and he's put in a perfect performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think that a lot of people have short memories. I think I just to make a double point here, I think first of all, you can see to Chelsea, but it's not like Villa were defensively poor up until that point. I think there was 2 mistakes. One was Jack Grealish losing the ball. And then I'd say second one was what, your winger not picking up the cross. But anyway, like, back to your point on Courtney Hawes, you know, again, people have short memories. You know, when he came in last season, he came into that defense during the whole lockdown, return from lockdown, Project Restart and everything, you know, there was that time period where Konsa was playing right back. Hawes did a good job. He did a really good job. And I don't know why people have been so sort of tentative about him coming in. I thought when he came in and played alongside Mings, as you say, he was playing on that right-hand side of that centre-back pairing. But I think him playing alongside Konsa, I think that's where he's more comfortable, at left centre-back. You know, he's a left-footed player, seems to be able to kind of, well, he's a little bit more comfortable with his feet there. I think what he has as well that both Konsa and Mings don't have is he's incredibly strong in the air. And that was something that was so, so important against Chelsea. You know, there's an argument saying that Hawes should have played regardless. If there was a choice between Mings, Konsa, and Hawes, it's an argument to say that Hawes is your first name there. Because look, the way that he was just peppering the balls away from the corners that Chelsea had, and they had 11 of them, it just never felt like Chelsea were ever going to get anything from a set piece. This was not a game where creativity was allowed, right? And what you want at that point is your centre-backs to just kind of stay switched on. And I just thought he had an incredible game. I highly rate the guy. Genuinely, we've got to stop thinking about him. And I think people do. I think we've got to stop thinking about him as a championship player that's being asked to act up. He is a Premier League centre-back, and it's time to give him that respect.
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing is, too, I mean, I can't remember what the club paid for him, but I know it was minimal.
I think it was like 2 million, I think.
Yeah, like the fact that you have paid, say, we'll say 2 million for him, and then whatever has happened and is currently happening to Bjorn Engels, I mean, it's night and day. It's crazy to think that he's kind of come from a place where you could probably say Wolves gave up on him, loaned him to us, and then Dean Smith has kind of had the confidence to say, you know what, let's give him a chance. And he's grown so much within the last 12 months. It's absolutely insane. And Danny, I think the best thing point that you made about this whole thing was in our WhatsApp chat when you said didn't really even miss Mings today. And that's not a slight on Mings. We're not saying we don't need Mings anymore or anything like that. It's the fact that we're able to call upon people from off the bench, from within the squad, and them to step in and put in high caliber performances. And that's what you need when you want to make progress within this league and to push on and to have success. And we're seeing that this season, and it's so, so much deserved. So it's really good to see. But of course, I'll come back to Steven because I'm interested in his input in this. Because, I mean, defensively, we've been excellent. Offensively, we've been excellent. But I think the thing, Steven, that some people kind of, I wouldn't say forget about, but maybe don't notice as much, is the combination that I see in Douglas Luiz and John McGinn. I mean, those two guys play so well off one another. There's so, like, the rotation in terms of one going up the pitch, one staying back, and vice versa has worked out so well. And in particular, if you look at John McGinn, especially this game, I think one of the concerns was a lot of these players are playing literally 48 hours or less than 48 hours after beating Palace. Where are we going to have really tired legs? You look at the Chelsea team, it's basically loads of rotation because they have a bevy of squad depth and quality in squad depth. But McGinn's fitness looks to be on another level. Douglas Luiz just looks to not be putting a foot wrong. So can you speak to, I guess, our listeners about those two in particular and their kind of imposition in the game?
Well, yeah, Frank Lampard said before the start of the game that you can't ask players to play two games in 48 hours and expect them to keep the same level up. But the two of them proved him absolutely wrong today. They were so, so full of energy. And as you mentioned, the way they work together is just incredible. They've got so much energy. They're both excellent ball carriers. They can both pass the ball. And I think that they're a very, very undervalued sort of section of the team, as you say, because the defense is so strong and the attack is so strong. But a big part of what we do is how quickly we can move between the two, going forwards and backwards. Douglas and McGinn are so quick to get involved in the attacks and get ahead of the ball. But also then when we lose it, they're the first ones back to sit in front of that defense, and they're just doing everything right.
Yeah, and I think as well, in many ways, Luiz and McGinn, you know, talking about them, they were the main players for Villa today, because that entire game for me, that entire game was fought in midfield. I mentioned earlier that I don't think there was a lot of space for anybody to be creative. I think that Chelsea, even with Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi, found themselves having to kind of rely on crosses from out wide, right? Likewise, Villa, I think, really, really struggled to kind of break through Chelsea's midfield. For me, it was all about how McGinn and Luiz were going to deal with Kante and Jorginho. That's what it was for me. And I thought that it was a real sort of even battle there. And in many ways, I think McGinn did, you know, perhaps even a better job than N'Golo Kante. But that was just an amazing little battle to watch. And I think for me, that's probably one of McGinn's best games in a Villa shirt.
Yeah, I mean, the man just seems to improve continuously. And it's brilliant to see. I just wish he scored that goal. I mean, how well and how amazing would that have felt if we could have capitalized on that opportunity. But nonetheless, I mean, a draw is a draw. We can't really complain too much. It's against a very solid Chelsea side, so you kind of have to keep that in mind, of course. And of course, we finished the month undefeated. And I think that's the most positive thing you can say. And currently, time of recording, of course, subject to change given to tomorrow's matches and the bevy and the amount of there really is, we're sitting in fifth, and I don't think you could be much happier than that. And that's crazy to see, and long may it continue. But anyways, Danny, I'll go to you first. Who do you give your match ball to?
Oh, it's John McGinn. It's John McGinn easily. As well as I think Villa did defensively, I thought, you know, brilliant job. I still think that Chelsea might have threatened a little bit more, but they didn't. You know, there wasn't really many clear cut chances for them, I don't think. I think going forward for me, usually Jack Grealish is in with a shout for man of the match, but he never really had any space to play. Same with Ollie Watkins. I'd say even same with Bertrand and El Ghazi. There wasn't an awful lot of space for them. But where Villa won the game was John McGinn's energy, because he did not switch off. He did not allow Chelsea to ever get a grip on the game, really. And you know, might have got a goal as well. A bit unfortunate for him, but ran the game and just showed for me why I believe, you know, once again, this guy is an elite midfielder. I don't think you can name me more than one or two better defensive midfielders or ball winners in the league. So got to go for him.
Fair enough. Steven, how about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. John McGinn, he was just absolutely elite tonight and showed everyone how good he is.
Yeah, and I think I'm just going to make it a 3 for 3. It has to be John McGinn. I mean, I love his little pirouettes and how he pivots and how he can. It's so Jack Grealish-esque in the way he's able to protect the ball. And I love to see that because the separation that he can create and the opportunities arguably he creates from those, it's so great to see. And it's so kind of nice to have that confidence in the midfield when you know the ball is going to him, you know something can happen and a positive opportunity can come our way. So long may that continue, of course. And yeah, so that's a perfect December. Of course, we go into the new year on 26 points. And I mean, I don't think you can ask for much better, I should say, but we're running out of time here on the recording. So we're just going to talk about the United game, of course, a little quickly here. So it's, of course, it's on New Year's Day at Old Trafford. So all of the Jack Grealish going to United gifts are going to come out. All the compilations of him coming to United will come out here in the next few days because apparently United fans can read into the future. But nonetheless, Danny, let's come to you first. How are you feeling about this game? Because I think, once again, this is one of those games you look at and kind of it's a measure of where Villa could potentially be at.
Yeah, it's a tough game, right? United are playing really well at the moment. I know they drew 2-2 with Leicester, but that was, you know, that was a lapse at the end, really, for them. You know, I think before that, you know, they beat Everton, scored 6 goals against Leeds United, 3 past Sheffield United. Villa aren't in for an easy night. You know, they really are not in for an easy night. There's a massive, massive decision that Dean Smith has to make as well about who's playing between Hawes, Konsa, and Mings. Massive decision, right? Because Howes and Konsa played really, really well, but then you perhaps want somebody who's better with the ball at his feet, so you kind of want Mings to get back in that team. So there's that, but I just think that the attack that United have, you know, who on their day are really, really difficult to play against, the pace that they have, the sheer pace, if they run at Villa, have a lot of problems. And they're not exactly the kind of team to overcommit, so in the same way, I don't think Villa are going to find it very easy to get through them. Tough game for me, really, really tough game. But as I say, I think it's going to be interesting to see whether Mings comes back in and also whether Barkley comes back in.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the outlier here with Ross Barkley. When's he going to come back? Did we not kind of get told all of the information? For me, I think it was just the fact of, you know what, what's the point of throwing him in against Palace? We can get a positive result there. We did. Obviously can't play against parent club Chelsea, so why not give him that extra rest to make sure everything's good? And hopefully we see him against United. But once again, like Danny said, where do you put him right back into the team? And I think a lot of people will say yes, but it's a hard one. Everyone's playing so well, and it's so good to see, and everyone's kind of biting at the bit for that opportunity. But Steven, I'll come to you for this. I mean, what are your thoughts on the game? How are you seeing this going? Because we've seen what they can do when you kind of go at them and when you try to dominate possession. They're so quick on the counter. They can play either way. And we've seen them a number of times this season come back from a deficit. So what are your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I think we've just got to play our own game and see who comes out better on the day. I would bring back Ross Barkley just because of how many games a lot of players have been playing. Whether that be to give McGinn a rest and play Ross Barkley a bit deeper, whether that would be, you know, moving Grealish back to the wing and giving El Ghazi or Traore a rest. I'd pretty surely say I'd bring Ross Barkley back. But I reckon if we just play our own game, play at our best, then we've got every chance of 1 or even 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the result that happened last season. Of course, we drew with them, which was a positive result at that point. And of course, looking back on it, it was a massive point given the way things went. But again, I think this is another game to look at and think, you know what, we can have an opportunity to get something out of this. I think after going up against the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, I can't really say to the extent of Arsenal, given how they're playing at the moment, but we're answering critics. We're doing the small things right. So why not have a go at them? Why can't we finally beat them? Because it feels like we never do. So it's always up in the air. But before we wrap things up here, guys, because we literally have a matter of a few minutes before the call shuts down, Stephen, can I get your score prediction, please?
I'm going to say a 2-2 draw.
Fair enough. Danny, how about you?
I was going to say 2-2 draw as well, you know, I reckon. But to be honest, it's me being positive. I think Villa have gone through a really, really positive patch. But I just...
Come on, Danny. 4-0 Villa. 4-0 Villa again.
United are so good right now. They're so good. They're scoring so many goals. That's my thing. I mean, look, we've got a great defense. We've got a brilliant defense. If we can keep that up, then hey, who's to say that we can't get a win? You know what? Let's say 2-1 Villa. Go up. Let's go for it. Let's say 2-1 Villa. Why not?
Fair enough. You know what? I'm going to match you. I'm going to go 2-1 Villa as well. I'm going to feel like probably I shouldn't have said that right before the game like I always do, but those are kind of the Villa panic attacks I have before. But I'm sure I'll get over it. I'll go 2-1 Villa as well. I just think if you play it the right way, you can have success against this United team. We've seen how not to and how to. So if the lads do the studying right of the game film and they put the work in on the pitch, I think we could get something here. And it's going to be an interesting one because you never really know what to expect with United. They're either one end of the spectrum or the complete opposite. So you never know. We could catch them on a bad day. And even on a good day, you never know. We're just playing that well. But anyways, guys, let's wrap it up there. Of course, thank you very much to Danny and to Stephen for joining me today. If you want to find Stephen on Twitter, it's at Villa Analytics. If you want to find Danny on Twitter, it's at Raza Journo. And of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. And of course, you can tweet us at 7500 to Holt, email the podcast at holtcast@gmail.com. We'll leave it there. Hopefully a positive result on New Year's Day, but don't forget up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.